As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let us give attention to the reading of the scripture. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered right. Do this, and you will live. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as thy people, we call upon thy name. We call upon thy name because it is worthy to be called upon by thy people. We call upon thy name because we have need of thee in our lives. As we begin this new week of study and worship, we do so in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, expecting the power of thy Holy Spirit to pervade our lives as we seek to study in an atmosphere of worship and to worship in an atmosphere of study. We pray for the members of our seminary family, for each one who has a particular need, for those of us who are discouraged, those who are sick in body, for those who may be lonely, for those from whom the purpose of life may be hidden in part, for all of the members of this community, we pray. And we pray that we may be instruments of thy grace to be ministers of healing and reconciliation in this community and throughout the world. Today, O Lord, we pray for the president of our country, that he may be undergirded with the prayers of the people of this nation, that he may be taken into paths of righteousness and truth that he himself may not know about as he is walking. We pray for him not because he is any better than any of us, but because he is in a place of responsibility for this people and for the people of the world. Grant unto him the ability to distinguish between truth and error, and give unto him the power to make decisions on the basis of principles of righteousness. We ask thee to bless our world, not that we may be spared physically, but that we may give glory to thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. A ruler 12 inches long has had a profound influence on my life. an annual event to which all of the students in our local school looked forward was the appearance of a representative from the local Coca-Cola bottling company. One of the items which was given to each student was a 12-inch ruler with the biblical verse, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." This stick became a standard by which we learned to measure distances. The punitive use of this ruler by our teacher became somewhat of a moral standard which effectively directed individual and group activity. As I reflect upon the use the teacher made of this piece of wood, I am inclined to believe that she did not give her wholehearted approval to the inscription, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." These experiences have impressed upon me the fact that there are standards in every area of life, and that responsible people of integrity are people who are both aware of their standards and seek to govern their lives accordingly. A religious standard is a norm of conduct which is based upon matters of ultimate concern. Every person has a standard because every person has a God who is the object of his concern. A writer in the book of Proverbs indicated as much when he said, "There is a way which seems right to a man." Thus, the issue is not whether one will have a standard, but whether one will have an adequate or an inadequate standard, whether he will have a good standard or a poor one. A Christian should be aware of the possible standards, including the Christian standard, and his relationship to these norms. Perhaps the earliest ethic was a relative one, which permitted the individual and the group to do what it desired as it desired to do so. This man-centered ethic is reflected in the time of the judges when the writer said, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes." This standard of relativity is most pronounced in contemporary Western civilization. People are concerned to do what they enjoy doing. The common question put to a child when returning from a trip is this: "Did you have a good time?" The implication is that having a good time is the purpose of life, and this seems to be the purpose of the American way of life today. All Americans, however, do not mean the same thing when they refer to having a good time. Thus, a relative ethic exists. Another glaring expression of ethical relativism is the pragmatism which pervades our lives. Ethical relativism has profoundly influenced the life of the church, and especially its younger members. For many so-called Christian students, the practice of stealing, lying, cheating, and immorality is acceptable if it works to serve their purposes. We need to remember that relativism is a standard, but it is an inadequate one which leads to frustration, despair, and death. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. A second type of standard was a concrete or propositional one, which was transmitted orally or in written form and applied legalistically. This standard has been characteristic of many people throughout history, but the most obvious expression of it came in the scribes and Pharisees, who perverted the old covenant into a legalistic expression. Against such a standard, Jesus spoke, and the early church rebelled. Yet the legalists are still with us, with their diluted Puritan morality, which forbids dancing, but tolerates and encourages moral degeneracy in the church. Paradoxical though it may be, Many Christians live both as legalists and antinomians and never discover the discrepancy. Again, the writer of Proverbs says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. A third standard may be spoken of as a formal or an ideal standard. Some abstract principles are declared to be the ethical norm of behavior, but these have little or no relevance to the manner in which a man lives his life. The virtues of courage, discretion, temperance, and justice may be related to eternal beauty and truth in one's thoughts. While one destroys beauty and perverts truth through selfish acts against mankind. This most deceptive of all standards has been baptized by the Christian church and has become the source of ecclesiastical schizophrenia. At least the adherents to other standards honestly seek to practice what they preach. The Christian church and the Christian ministry have an ideal, but it is often unrelated to practice. That is, until through the art of rationalization, the ideal is made to conform to the practice. The fourth standard of conduct is a dynamic one, which may also be the Christian standard. A dynamic ethic is one which is a realistic and relevant expression of one's ultimate concern in life. The energy expended in living life is essentially and creatively related to the motivation and purpose of existence. In a dynamic ethic, one really practices what he preaches. Yet it is commonly agreed that each of us acts inconsistently with our standards. Therefore, an adequate standard must be elastic enough in every generation and in every culture to provide for inconsistency without despair. A dynamic ethic has this abiding and unique characteristic of allowing both for error and creativity without sacrificing principles or encouraging despair. A third element in a dynamic standard is that consideration is given to persons as persons, and the mystery of personality is neither denied nor exploited. A final quality of a dynamic ethic is that a proper relationship between the individual and society is possible, so that life is not a choice between oneself and the world, but life is a creative relationship to the world. The Christian standard is that norm which facilitates the maximum possibility for a creative expression of the life of God in Christ through the leadership and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This is a dynamic ethic which is expressed through Christians whose ultimate concern is being in Christ. The great commandment itself is dynamic. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. This love is the Christian's ultimate concern, and as such, it is the presupposition of all his behavior. Unless you have this love for God, it is impossible to live the Christian life. Herein lies the source of the practical difficulties experienced by so many of us in trying to be Christians. Man simply cannot be Christian if he does not really and truly love God. When life gets difficult, the question which one should ask is not whether God loves him, but whether he loves God. No man loves God perfectly, however, and the Christian ethic makes allowance for this defect by relating the law of God's love to the grace of forgiveness. Man fails to love God as he ought, but God forgives him through the grace of Jesus Christ as mediated by the Holy Spirit. The Christian standard is an ethic of the Holy Spirit. In him and him alone is the proper relationship between law and grace experienced and understood. The Christian ethic has suffered long and hard at the hands of those who would make law and grace mutually exclusive. A careful consideration of the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Christian life would avoid such perversion. The Holy Spirit means the separate Spirit, the personal, separate Spirit of God. To be separate implies standards or limitations. And to live a life in the Holy Spirit is to live a circumscribed life. The law itself is rooted in God's holiness, His personal separateness. And as Paul says, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Yet the Holy Spirit means life, power, mysterious life which freely expresses itself. Such life is made possible by the creating and redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. Life in the Spirit is life in Christ, and it is a peculiar kind of life, a holy life which is lived in grace, but always against the background of the law. Life lived apart from the law is not lived on the grace of God at all, but on the desire of man. The ethical freedom which so many Christian young people seem to take for granted is not freedom at all, but slavery to self. Grace separated from God's Holy Spirit is not grace, but human indulgence. The failure of Christian people to live holy lives is the reason for the failure of the Christian church in our day. This failure is rooted theologically in a misunderstanding of law and grace, and this can be corrected in part through an ethic of the Holy Spirit. In the third place, the Christian ethic always values persons above things, even above scholarship. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. To fail to love one's neighbor is to fail to love God. Here, each one of us bows his head in shame and disgrace, both as we view the Christian church of which we are a part, and as we see the world which we have let die around us. These are several possible standards for life, and we need to know which standard is ours. No man can be an effective Christian unless he knows and lives by Christian standards. No man can be a fruitful minister unless he knows the nature of Christian behavior. It does make a difference as to which standard you choose, because some standards are inadequate to meet the requirements of living a meaningful life. The Christian standard is a new, dynamic, creative way of life. This way is made possible through God's grace by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We walk in this way, mindful of God's holiness and in the power of his gracious Spirit. We are people of the way, and as we walk in it, the world may not be turned upside down, but the hearts of people will be turned toward God and open to mankind. A 12-inch ruler has influenced my life profoundly by reminding me that there are standards. The Christian religion teaches us that there is a Christian standard of conduct, and that standard is the ethic of the Holy Spirit. What is your standard? Let us stand. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this moment and throughout the age to come.